Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. There are growing indications this morning that sabotage brought down the Pan Am 747 over a Scottish village last night, killing all 258 people aboard and some 15 on the ground. U.S. intelligence had issued warnings earlier this month of just such an attack. Employees at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow were advised to avoid Pan Am flights from Frankfurt, and airport security there was beefed up. Pentagon correspondent David Martin says it began with an anonymous telephone tip.
The threat came on December 5th in an anonymous phone call to the U.S. Embassy in Helsinki, Finland. A man speaking in a Middle Eastern accent said a bomb would be placed aboard a Pan Am flight from Frankfurt to the U.S. sometime. The man said the bomb would be carried on board the plane by a Finnish woman and that the people plotting this were associated with Abu Nidal, one of the world's most notorious terrorists. He then mentioned a specific Arab name. That was turned over to Finnish police, who told U.S. officials this was a person known to them. What is not known at this point is whether Finnish police did anything to apprehend or question this person prior to last night's crash. Almost certainly, that person is now the subject of a police search, and almost certainly, investigators will comb the list of passengers who boarded Pan Am Flight 103 in Frankfurt for signs of the Finnish woman who was supposed to be carrying the bomb. On more than one occasion in the past, Middle Eastern terrorists have used unwitting girlfriends to carry suitcases rigged with bombs aboard aircraft. In previous cases, the bombs did not go off either because they were detected by airport security officers or because the detonator malfunctioned. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Today, a man called news agencies in London to claim the crash victims were executed in revenge for an American warship's mistaken identity shootdown of an Iran Air passenger plane over the Persian Gulf last July, in which 290 people died. The caller said he spoke for the, quote, guardians of the Iranian Revolution. Both the International Air Transport Association and the British Airline Pilots Association say sabotage is the most likely explanation. Correspondent Dan Raviv is in the Scottish border town of Lockerbie, where most of the flaming wreckage came down with devastating impact and where 150 bodies have been recovered.
Britain's Royal Air Force and Scottish police have been scouring the countryside for bodies, wreckage, and the two flight recorders. They found the data recorder, which charted the 54 minutes the plane was in the air before crashing. And then they found the cockpit voice recorder, where anything the pilot and crew said can be heard. The crew members were found dead in the largest piece of wreckage on a hill more than 3 miles from the center of Lockerbie, where pieces of the plane set fire to many houses. On this hill, the front 25 feet of the jumbo jet, the silver, white, and blue paint of Pan Am now crumpled. Several bodies now wrapped in black plastic scattered around. U.S. Ambassador to Britain Charles Price came here and called the scene bizarre.
It's almost as if it came out of some sort of a movie set. It's beyond description.
Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher has now seen that eerie sight, the worst thing she's ever seen, she said, and asked by reporters about the word from Washington that there was a warning of sabotage, Thatcher would only say, "We never discuss intelligence. Never." Dan Raviv, CBS News, Lockerbie, Scotland.
Some of the Pan Am passengers began Flight 103 on a different aircraft in Frankfurt and changed planes in London, having checked their luggage through to New York. Yasmin Sadiki, a passenger on Flight 103 who got off in London, said a man who boarded with her in Frankfurt aroused suspicion.
The man in front of me was getting very agitated, very nervous. He was of Middle East descent. I couldn't tell you which country. But he was getting very upset. He looked at me, he looked at the floor, he looked everywhere, but he wouldn't look at the policeman.
It is not known whether that man or his luggage continued on Flight 103. Many of the victims' relatives got the news at the Pan Am terminal in New York. Jonathan Sanders reports.
At Kennedy Airport, pain, shock, and disbelief overtook relatives coming to meet Flight 103. One woman threw herself on the floor and sobbed as Pan Am officials tried to offer comfort. They whisked family members away to a VIP lounge. There they met with doctors, clergy, and counselors. But what can even experienced professionals say? Reverend Frank Rafter of Emergency Services.
I just let them put their head on my shoulder and cry. You know, what words can you use? Give them a hug and just say, hey, I care.
And as relatives left the airport, they hugged and tried to care for one another. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, New York.
36 of the Pan Am victims were Syracuse University students studying in Europe, as Tim Scheld of WCBS Radio reports from a shocked and saddened campus.
This is the saddest day of my life.
Chancellor Melvin Eggers on the loss of 36 students in the International Study Program of Syracuse University.
We've lost part of the brightest and the best. Talented, beautiful people, and now we'll not see them again. That's a sad, sad time.
This is the last day of final exams here before the holidays. But Jason Robbins, who lost a friend, says the schoolwork just doesn't seem so important anymore.
I can't study. I'm reading the words and I'm not thinking. I don't know what I'm reading.
Tim Scheld for CBS News, Syracuse, New York.
The nation's number five investment firm has admitted guilt in the biggest securities fraud case ever and agreed to pay a hefty fine. But as Ray Brady reports, that plea bargain is not the end of the legal line.
Wall Streeters say this morning that the admission of guilt by Drexel Burnham Lombard opens the giant brokerage firm to numerous lawsuits from investors who can charge they were victimized by the firm. A Drexel spokesman said paying the $650 million fine, the biggest in history, was the only way out for Drexel. And Rudolph Giuliani, the U.S. attorney in Manhattan, says the money penalty was the best way to punish the firm.
If you're dealing with a corporate entity, the punishment, if appropriate for a corporate entity, is a financial punishment. You do not put corporations in prison.
Until now, Drexel's been one of the most powerful brokers on Wall Street, a firm built up by Michael Milken, the junk bond king, the man who financed billions of dollars in corporate takeovers and raids through high-yield, high-risk junk bonds. If the firm had not pleaded guilty, it could have been faced with racketeering charges that could have cost even more millions of dollars in penalties to the firm that junk bonds built. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
For all of that, Wall Street is having an up Thursday. At this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead 2.15 at 2166.79. Big board volume, 21,800,000 shares. The dollar is mixed overseas. London gold prices are up 60 cents at $415.60 an ounce. 7 weeks after Israel's inconclusive election, Prime Minister Shamir has presented his new 28-member unity cabinet to Parliament. He appealed to Arab states to talk peace with Israel, but vowed his government would never talk to the PLO. A top Soviet general said today the 10,000 tanks Mikhail Gorbachev has promised to withdraw from Eastern Europe will be new models. Major General Yuri Lebedev of the General Staff said they will be destroyed at sites where foreign observers can watch. Pope John Paul II today warned the Anglican Church its plan to ordain women as priests and bishops poses what he calls serious obstacles to relations with the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope deplored the August vote by Anglican bishops. Checking the time, 10 minutes past 7.